All right, please turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. Yep, turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, and tonight we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. I don't know how many of you have been on a mission trip before, but back in college, I had gone to Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah, for a mission trip, and we were ministering to Mormons. And I don't know if you all have ever encountered Mormonism, but Cordy and I have had many. Have you anyone had a Mormon knock on their door before? Okay, or a Jehovah Witness maybe comes and knocks on your door. Cordy and I have had a lot of opportunities to talk to Mormons about faith and what the differences are between Mormonism and true Christianity. But when I was in Utah, I had the opportunity to be visiting a Mormon college and meeting with the president and the vice president. So it was our team from Masters, and then we met with the president and the vice president of this Mormon college. And in that meeting, the president sought to say our faiths were the same, that Mormonism was the same as being a born-again Christian. But I read to him Galatians 1:8, which says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." The issue was, even though Mormons use Christian words, they read Christian books, and they do Christian things, they believe in a different gospel than we do. It's completely different and contrary to the New Testament. They believe in a different Jesus. And Galatians 1 talks about that even if an angel of light brings a different gospel than the one that's found in the Bible, that we're to consider them anathema, or accursed, or condemned. This is the danger of believing in the wrong Jesus. If you believe in the wrong Jesus, the Bible says in Galatians 1 that you can be considered accursed. So then it's really important to understand how do we know who the right Jesus is, and how do we know what is true or what is false? So in the Mormon church, you're not allowed to question the church. Can't question the church, can't question the teachings. You just have to accept everything that they believe without question. So by the very definition, like Mormonism by itself is a cult because of its secrecy, and you can't question it at all to its core. But I think we can actually, as Christians, be guilty of doing the exact same thing. We hear people teach, but there's no discernment. There's no trying to figure out if they're right or wrong. Especially, like, we live in an age where things are so tolerant. And Christians just accept anything and everything that they're taught. But this is not what the New Testament teaches. See, our God welcomes us and desires for us to test what is true. And this is what John is calling us to in 1 John 4:1. So last time, do you remember in 1 John, for those of you who are here, we talked about kind of the overview of what 1 John was and the spiral staircase. Do you guys remember that? And 1 John is like a school, and each level is a different test to see if we actually have eternal life. So now when we come to 1 John 4, verse 1, we're getting to the last test. We're getting to the last test on that third floor. We're taking the final course on doctrine, and that is to understand what is true. So it would be like asking the question, how do I know if my teacher is telling me the truth? How do I know if my teacher is telling me the truth? How do we know if what we hear is true or is a lie? How do we know if what I'm hearing is actually coming from God or not? So look at 1 John 4, verse 1. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." If you're a kind of person who is pretty tolerant to other people and accepting of other people's beliefs, John says that you need to stop. We need to stop being tolerant and accepting of what everybody else believes. We can't believe every spirit. Instead, we're to continually put spiritual teachers up to the test. We need to examine them. If they're claiming to teach who God is and what is true, we need to put them to the test and see if they're actually from God. Now, sometimes Satan will make it absolutely clear on who is a false teacher, and they'll attack the gospel, and they'll attack what's true. Like, Satan will make it absolutely clear. But then, sometimes, it's not as easy. If you look at the New Testament, one of the primary ways Satan deceives God's people is mixing truth with error. Error. 2 Corinthians 11:14 through 15, Paul writes, "No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself." Now listen to this. "Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants, aka the demonic realm, also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." Now, do you remember Galatians 1? It said, even if an angel of light were to bring you a different gospel, to consider him accursed. And then this passage says, Satan himself can disguise himself as an angel of light, and his demons as servants of righteousness. So here's the point. We as Christians are in constant warfare for what is true. Satan desires to be disguised, not as your enemy, not as your adversary, but as your ally. He desires not to be your foe, but to be your friend. He doesn't want to be your deceiver. He wants to be your leader. And that's how he ultimately will deceive us. And then 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3, Peter emphasizes that false teachers need to be concerned, that we need to be concerned that false teachers are among us, right? Mixing truth with error. They're under disguise. Listen to what Peter says. "But false prophets also arose among the people," us, "just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies," heresies, "even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." If we're not carefully discerning truth from error, you might be easily deceived. So when you look at someone who teaches the truth of God, you're responsible to examine their life and their doctrine, what they believe, how they live. Satan is not stupid. There's a quote. Satan is not stupid. He's not going to parade around and say, oh, this one is a false teacher and this one is a false teacher, and make it really clear for us. He's going to secretly disguise them and mix truth with error and deceive us into believing something true about God that's actually wrong. He wants us to believe in the wrong God and the wrong gospel so that we will perish. So Jesus summarizes this in Matthew 7, 15 through 17, where he says, you might have heard this, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." I was going to throw this up on the screen, but I'll just show you here. In my Bible, I have this newspaper cutout from when I first became a Christian. It was when I first became a Christian, and I saw this in the newspaper. Can you see it? I'll pass it around. And it's a picture of a light shining through a stained glass window, and it's entering into a church, and is spotlighting on what appears to be a sheep, but is actually, as you can see, and I'll pass it around, is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And here, I'll pass this around. Here. And I've had that in my Bible for the past, whatever, 15 years. And it's a reminder to me that I personally, as your teacher, don't want to be used by the enemy, but to make sure I'm guarding my life and my doctrine. Jesus says you will know them by your fruits. You'll know them by what they believe and how they live. So my expectation of you, my expectation of you for me, is that you would not be complacent of me, or complacent of any spiritual teachers. I just don't want you to sit back and take in what I'm saying to you. I want you to challenge me. I want you to be noble Bereans. I want you to search the scriptures. I want you to test me. I want you to examine my life and examine my teaching. I want you to go to God's word. And I want you to take notes. And I want you to mark your Bibles. And I want you to be prayerful and discern what is true versus what's false and an error. And understand what's being taught to you and influencing your life. And ultimately your eternity. So how do you do this? How do you examine if what I am teaching, or if there is a teacher who is true or a teacher who is false? How do you do this? How do you evaluate a spiritual teacher? So this is what John talks about in 1 John 4, 1 through 6. And so for the remainder of our time, quickly, we're going to ask three questions to discern a true spiritual teacher. Three questions to discern a true spiritual teacher. And the first question you could ask is, what do you confess? What do you confess? And that's in verses 2 through 3. Could someone read verses 2 through 3? So we need to ask the question, what do you confess about Jesus? Now, we talked about earlier in 1 John how confession means saying the same thing as. Or in other words, do you agree with what the scriptures say about Jesus? Do you agree with what the scriptures say about Jesus? For example, that he is from God, that he is God, that he took the form of a man, that he's truly God and truly man, that he's one with the Father, that he was born to die, that he's the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah, that he's the only way to have eternal life, that he's sinless, that he's creator. You could go on and on and on. But this is the Jesus of the Bible. I remember witnessing one time outside a movie theater back in California. And the person asked me, show me one spot in the Bible. Show me one place in the Bible that says Jesus is God. He said, I want those exact words. Jesus is God. So I was like, okay. I had my Bible ready, you know, and I was ready to go. And I was sharing all kinds of verses with him. I was sharing the verses about how Jesus is the Word and that Jesus is Lord and you need to accept him as Lord in order to be saved. And he's the Son of God and he's the Christ and he's the Son of David and the Son of Man. He's the King. Now, all those things mean that Jesus is God. But the person said, well, you haven't named one verse that says, Jesus is God. He wanted that exact phrase. And I left that conversation because I just couldn't think of a verse off the top of my head that said, Jesus is God. And I'm like, out of all the verses. So I was devastated. I was devastated because I'm a Christian and I'm going to master's college and seminary and I can't think of a verse that says, Jesus is God. I was devastated. Even though all those other titles mean that Jesus is God, I just couldn't place a verse. So I want to give you two verses that explicitly say that Jesus is God, so that you know and so that the Bible claims that Jesus is God. Okay, are you ready? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. So 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 through 6 says, there is one God, and that one God is the man Christ Jesus. That's pretty straightforward. Jesus is God. Okay, but let me give you another one. Turn your Bibles just a page over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true and his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The Son, Christ Jesus. Not only is he the Son of God, but this is the true God and eternal life. So, back to 1 John 4. It's essential to understand that in order for you to be a Christian, to be saved, you have to believe that Jesus is God. You can't believe that he is created, but that he is the creator, that he is eternal. Because people like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is a God and that he was created. But we believe that Jesus is God, that he is the second person of the Trinity. The one who believes and teaches the true Jesus from the Bible truly possesses the Spirit of God. But those who deny Jesus from the Bible, this verse says, is the spirit of the Antichrist and the demonic realm. This is serious spiritual warfare for the Christian. But as we identify what we confess, we can have hope in the midst of discerning truth. And with the second question, okay? So the first question was, what do you confess? But the second question is, what do you conquer? Okay, look at verse 4. Could someone read verse 4? What do you conquer? Now, look in your Bibles, in my translation, look at verse 4. And I want you to underline this if this is how your translation does it. But at the beginning of verse 4 for me, it says, you are from God. Now in verse 5, it says, they are from the world. You know, underline that. And then verse 6 says, we are from God. You are from God, they are from the world, we are from God. As we answer the question to discern who are true spiritual leaders, John addresses you, and John addresses those of the world, and then he addresses all of us as believers. But in verse 4, he addresses you by saying, if you are a believer, you have overcome the spirit of Antichrist, the world, and these false teachers. Now, the word overcome, nikao. Does that sound like a word we have today? Nikao, right, is where we get the word nik. It's one of my favorite words. And it means overcome. It means overcome. Nikao. Nicholas. So Nicholas means conquer the people. So conquering the people. Okay. But see, we are all niks. We are all nikolaoses, right? We are conquerors through Christ. Now, there's going to be those who muddy the waters, these false teachers. They're going to muddy the waters and confuse you. But this verse promises that we have overcome them because we confess who the true Jesus is, because God lives in you. The living God lives in you. He is God, and he is greater than any false teacher who may try to confuse you about who God is. And Jesus says in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. See, despite what false teachers do, we can have peace and courage and hope because Jesus has overcome. It's not because we have overcome, but Jesus has overcome. And because Jesus has overcome, we can overcome through Jesus. So when you look at a spiritual authority in your life and you discern truth? Have they overcome sin and error? Have you done this in your own life? What do you confess about Jesus? Remember that Jesus has overcome. Listen, what you invest in spiritually is what will influence you eternally. So you need to make sure you have the right influences in your life teaching you. But this leads to the final question, which is critical in discerning a true spiritual teacher, and that is, what do you consider? What do you confess? What do you conquer? And then what do you consider in verses 5 through 6? Okay, so notice in verse 5, remember I told you to mark your Bibles, it says they are from the Word. So the audience changes. Now it's talking about they. It's talking about those who don't have God dwelling with them, a.k.a. false teachers. And it says that the world listens to them. And this is why Paul says in 2 Timothy, he says that there will be those who will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll want to have their ears tickled. Have you heard that verse? They want their ears tickled. And they're going to accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And they're going to turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. See, people are going to want there to be false teachers in place because they just want to do what they want to do to approve sin. In the end, people are just going to want to care about their ears being tickled. They're persuaded by the world and worldly practices, and they let the world influence them instead of letting the church influence the world. We need to stop finding ways to adopt what the world is doing and see how we can transform the world through Christ. But then look at verse 6 quickly. It says that the final shift then talks about how we are from God. See, we proclaim not the things of the world, but we proclaim God's word. And we are submit to ourselves. This is why we preach every week. And this is why I'm so passionate about preaching the word of God to you, because I don't care what I have to say to you. You shouldn't care what I have to say to you. You should care about submitting yourselves to the authority of Scripture and how it should transform your life. That is what matters. That is what should influence your life. And those who don't listen to God's word ultimately don't truly know him or have a personal relationship with him. But if you're submitting yourself to God's word and desiring it and have a joy to read God's word, it's because you desire to know God. We ask the question, what do you consider? We're asking the question, what are you listening to? What are you letting influence your life? Like, for example, what people are influencing you to make you have the opinions that you have? Do you let other people influence you to have a certain opinion about something? What gives the person an authority in your life to let them influence you that way? What do they listen to? What do they watch? What do they teach? And what do you confess? What do you conquer? What do you consider? These are three questions to ask a spiritual teacher, but also three questions to ask yourself and say, do I possess the spirit of truth? And do I love God? And do I know God? Do I confess Christ? Do I conquer with Christ? And do I consider Christ to influence my soul? Answer these questions, and then we can be confident of our eternity. So think about these questions, even in our small group time and the time that's remaining. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you for this night, and there's a lot to chew on here. We're at warfare with truth, but God, we desire to know you and to love you and desire you, and that's why we submit ourselves to Scripture and to the teaching of the Word, because we want to hear from you. So God, may we do that tonight. May we conquer with Christ. May we confess the true Christ of the Bible. And may Christ and Scripture influence our lives alone. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.